your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Soccer Matters.
Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Here it is, the Hungarian Szoboszlai.
With a ripper of a free kick.
Well, you might say it's early season, the games aren't as important. Yeah, that might be 3 points that you may be glad you got in the beginning of the year, because that came late from Szoboszlai. If we look around all the top European leagues, everybody is struggling. Not struggling, just in a normal place, trying to find their game. Everything's not perfect. It shouldn't be. Integrating new players, new tactics. It is all normal. Welcome back, everybody. Glenn Davis, Daspit Law Firm, presents here tonight alongside Federico DeMichelis, who is in studio. So I thought Nico Moreno was excellent.
Very passionate.
Truly passionate, truly schooled on his club. He's got a podcast out there, Sounder at Heart, and I think he has another one called Pulso. Mm-hmm. But really, his knowledge and his depth, very, very impressive. And this isn't a guy that's a Sounders homer either, because I've heard him criticize him before as well.
Yeah, and that's healthy. You know, that's what we're here for. We don't want to just talk about the good things. We want to make it better, you know, and right now they're enjoying their, you know, maybe their best moment as a franchise so far. And it's good to see. You know, I'm for one happy to see it. I think they deserve it. They have a wonderful team. They have a tremendous coach. And what I was most interested about is asking him about that culture. You know, the way that they behave, not only on the pitch but every day. You know, every day as a club with their fans, every day with their academy, every day with their players. And you could see that. You know, like I told him in the interview, seeing De La Vega. You know, hug and shake hands and have a good time. Even De La Vega, who is definitely not a Sounders, you know, he arrived there a couple of months ago, a year. What was it? Again, the guy from Lanús, he's my rival.
About a year, maybe a little over a year.
Yeah,
it's taken him a while to get integrated into MLS, by the way, which everybody thinks that just because you're coming from Argentina, it's automatically going to be easy to integrate into the league. Now, on the other hand, there are people that integrate easily right away. Mm-hmm. And so it's unique to everybody. And now he's a younger player. By the way, the volley he scored, oof. I mean, good Lord.
Oof. Was it a volley, though? There's that argument, though. You know,
What are they saying? He side-footed it?
No, it kind of with the, you know, he opened his foot a little bit. It wasn't like full volley.
It wasn't a slash off the laces. I think it's more, that goal to me is more about accuracy than it is about power.
Pure technique, pure beauty.
Yeah, took it out of the air clean. He picked the right surface using the inside of his foot. It's almost like he caressed it, and it had just enough power.
A very famous Argentine coach used to say, a pass to the net.
Yeah,
a pass to
absolutely.
The net. That's what it was.
You can pass it in, right?
Beautiful.
I'd like to see the Dynamo pass it in there. But look, Dynamo got a 3-2 victory over St. Louis. We're going to talk about that as well. So Brian Schmetzer was a player for the Seattle Sounders. His father had a soccer store there. This guy is through and through. And you have an owner who's from that area too, local. I mean, you can make the argument about local ownership.
You can.
There's going to be more care and more ambition, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because there's lots of people who run teams from out of market, and they're successful. But there is something that is maybe a little checkmark bonus to having a local.
Yeah, there's a connection to the city that's undeniable, and you could hear it in his voice, you know, when he was talking after the match. So emotional, his family. You know, it's a special moment, but it's about, you know, it's not about winning this tournament. It's about, you know, it's the strawberry on top of the cake. You know, it's everything. It's what it means as a club, you know, and as a career for him as well. You know, he decided to stay. I'm sure he's had plenty of offers everywhere, and there he is.
Yeah, it's consistency.
Right.
And consistency for a club is more than just making the playoffs. I actually think the playoffs are demeaned in MLS because of the amount of teams that make it.
Yeah.
But you know, we feel like we've been in a relentless kickstart here in Houston. We're going to start at but we don't see the attendance grow. We don't see the marketing grow. We don't see youth players getting through to the first team. I'm sorry for being blatantly honest here, but these are all the other things that are going to help you fill your seats. And if you don't have experts in those areas, and if you're not investing in that with dollars, and you're not getting the Garth Lagerways to be in your front office, just leaving it up to the competitive side on their own to try and do it, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and also because there has to be, again, a connect. We talk about community a lot, you and I, but we're talking about the way that you present yourself as an organization and as a team on the pitch. You know, when you know who you are as an organization, you know who to bring as a coach. You know who to bring as a player. You know who's going to fit in that, not only that system, but that culture. What you're trying to build, who you're trying to be, who you are. Well, that's what Seattle is doing, and that's what we're hoping one day will happen here in Houston.
Tremendous pride there, pride in winning trophies. That's not just a buzzword, but it's pride in doing a lot of things in the small things. By the way, they had a tremendous creative piece of originality.
Oh, that was brilliant.
They did, as you know, and I'll tell the listeners because they may know as well, but they did a they did a promotion, which was basically come and hand in your pink Lionel Messi jersey, and we're going to hand you, and this was to Sounders fans, and we're going to give you a Paul Rothrock green, rave green Sounders jerseys. Now, they only did 100. Yeah. The 100 went in the New York Minute, and Paul Rothrock scores the third goal, which is incredible, you know, when you're talking about Messi and company.
It was just beautiful. You just love to see it. There's nothing to say about it. The whole thing, the whole match, even the way it ended we can talk about it. It was horrible from, you know, and there were some of them that got involved as well. You know, it was it happens, a brawl, whatever.
I'm putting that all on Inter Miami. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It's all Suarez and Busquets. I mean, these guys were frustrated. They were embarrassed. They got beat 3-0. I want to see Beckham come out and make a statement about his organization. You know, maybe Inter Miami now, who's the big draw, becomes a bit of the bad guy too. That could be a good thing. Maybe.
It's already happening. I think.
I mean, were kind of the bad guy, but maybe this takes them next level.
After this, there is no way back. I think that's a big stain. It's a big stain on the club, I think. And Beckham should have already come out and said something. Already.
Disappointed. And I'll tell you why. Because he, to me, has always been a steward of the game.
Mm-hmm.
His upbringing in the game with Alex Ferguson, coming through Carrington, the youth system at Manchester United, those values instilled in you are about respecting the game. You don't know the game and you didn't grow up in the game. How do you respect the game? You can't. You just can't. It's like coming to Houston. You can't know Houston in 1 year or 2 years. You can't. It's not possible. I know it because of how long it's taken me to understand this place. But it's disappointing because of his integrity that he has shown through his career for the game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure though there are a lot of interests involved in what he's going to say and how he's going to say it. You know, we're talking about a lot of money. That being said, I don't care. You know, just go out there and say something. It was wrong. We all saw it. You know, it's just wrong. Just say something. You know, you're better than that.
Yeah, I think he needs to. I think he really needs to. Okay, so Seattle attendance, that demands coverage. There's no question about that. Luis Suarez is a repeat offender, you know, and you know, I'm changing 180 on him because of his behavioral issues. And it's sad because a great striker is probably going to be known for that more at the end of his career. But, you know, he put on a clinic when he came here to Houston in the beginning of the year, and the guys all beat up. But for him to do that, there's no going back now. Repeat offender, he's done. The security guy, his name was Gene Ramirez, it came out today, and he's the guy who got spit on. He said, quote, "I expected him to bite me." And I think he was just joking. But, you know, that was that biting incident in 2014. I guess he's done it again. But there's interesting things going on with Inter Miami. Ben Cremaschi's leaving. He's going to Parma. You got these guys getting older. Busquets, I think I'm going to predict now, is going to retire from the game.
He should. He should, honestly, even with all that magic. But it's about time.
Yeah. I think there could be some parting of the ways. Will Messi come back? Who knows? They got a brand new stadium, though, that's going up right next to the airport. I've seen it.
Talking about Parma, I don't know who talked about this online. I saw McGlynn talks about Parma, this, that, not, yes.
Strange things. Linking him to Parma?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible. Some good news on the Dynamo. Well, here's some news on the Dynamo front. Sergio Santos, the Dynamo claimed him off waivers from Cincinnati. 167 appearances in MLS, 27 goals, 14 assists. He scores a goal every six games. He's been added. He played at the Philadelphia Union. His best year there was six goals. You've got Damian Lowe, who's played for Jamaica. We've seen him in MLS before, a defender. So let me go to Damian Lowe. What does that say if you're Ethan Bartlow or you're Obafemi Awadesu? Now, granted, this is professional sports, but the first thing, the outside, if we're really journalists and looking at this, we're going, maybe Ben Olsen and staff don't have the confidence in those two guys here in a playoff run.
Clearly, very clearly. I mean, the message is just, I wouldn't want to be in Femi's shoes right now. Even with the effort, I mean, we all, I also take responsibility. I criticized Malo when he was starting. Then I realized he's a 20-year-old kid. You know, he did very well for what was happening right there.
And 100%.
Then, you know?
You have to expect mistakes.
Absolutely. Bartlow can be a different story. You know, sure, there are more things to argue there. But still, you know, bringing a center back out of, you know, all positions right now at this point in time, it's a message.
Now,
sure.
That's assuming that's where he's being brought. It's, you know, you never know. He might be. They may have the Dynamo and Pat Onstad and Ben Olsen may have another idea for him. But they're not going to be signings that wow anybody. They're signings that are short-term micro signings to get into the playoffs. This is good news because I felt so bad for this young man, Nelson Quiñones. Dynamo 2, apparently, I guess he's come back and has played now. So
almost 2 years out.
Man, I mean, he really had a brutal injury. Sure. I need to go back and take a look at him. If there's anybody out there and saw him, maybe you can report and – maybe tell us if he still has that explosiveness he had before.
Escobar played again. That's also good news for Houston, I think, coming back from an injury. They spoke about this in the report. You know, we're bringing another defender, knowing that we have a lot coming back from injuries and this and that. You know, but yeah, clearly the staff isn't satisfied right now with the defense, and it makes sense. Then there's also the defensive midfielder.
We'll get to that for sure because Brooklyn Reigns is going to be going with the under-20 national team. I would just say this. The Dynamo in St. Louis, Eric Svechenko calmed things down, no question.
No question.
I think Lawrence Anali from the start, you can say what you want. An opponent has to look at you differently with him on the field. And every time he gets the ball and faces somebody, it's electric. I would have wanted him to take people on a little bit more in that game. I think there were moments he could have, and he pulled up and passed it back.
Yeah, and I have a theory about that.
I think there's a good theory about that. It's called the inverted winger. It's called data.
Data.
Man. Pep Guardiola ruined soccer, everybody.
Data. It's all about
Pep
data.
Pep ruined soccer. All right. I'm going to take a break. By the way, tonight following this show, Hall of Fame with the legendary... legendary Hall of Famer
Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Booker T. What is Booker T's slogan again? I interviewed him once.
Oh,
on
he's
TV.
Got lots of them, but Shucky Ducky Quack Quack was one of them.
Yeah, love Booker T, man. That guy.
Champagne Wishes and Caviar Dreams is another one.
Yeah, but he stole that from Robin Leach. from Lifestyles of the Rich
and
Famous.
Yeah, but he says but that every show. Good.
No, but he's got, what's his main one, though?
Can You Dig It, Sucker?
Can You Dig It, Sucker? Yes. I interviewed him once on the desk pregame at the before one of the Dynamo games. Man, he is fun. That is a fun cat. And he's got energy that, like, you're going to shoot. He should play center back for the Dynamo. Tell Booker T he needs to play center back.
He can sell some tickets.
There you go. All right, let's take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis in studio tonight. Federico De Michelis.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's the legendary Electric Light Orchestra, Do Ya. This is an amazing song. Jeff Lynne. Oof, we could listen to that. It might be better than my soccer talk. All right, welcome back, everybody. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Lots to get into in this segment. And then I want to, again, tease Jordi Sunyer TV3 in Barcelona final segment. You're going to hear some really interesting stuff going on about Lamine Yamal in Barcelona that I haven't heard other people mentioning as much, but there's some real issues out there. Big managers biting the dust. Erik ten Hag, Bayer Leverkusen. That guy, I mean, the last two games, ETH. Jose Mourinho out at Fenerbahce. Was in the job for 450 days. He's been ornery and antagonistic from the start, I think. Demeaned officials, grabbed the face of the Galatasaray coach, Okan Buruk. Then lost to Benfica in the Champions League. But has not been noted as a very good club steward. The president of of Fenerbahce is Ali Koch. He went to Rice University, so I'm going to get him on the show here. And then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer out at Beşiktaş, also in Turkey. Pressure.
And look, we're talking about stats. How much do stats have to do with these kind of decisions after a year and something? Do they just want to win? Do they want to see particular things that they don't get? I don't know. I was hearing your segments before. You know, when it comes to stats and this sport that we all love so much, I'm just not on board. I mean, I understand it. I get it. We can probably use them in ways that help, but that is not the essence of the sport, man. It's just not it. And there are so many things that you just cannot predict. And there are so many things that players do in certain systems that will just not happen in other systems. Look at Ponce. Look at Ponce. Ponce is a great example of that. You know, he just doesn't, you know, sure, he was never, you know, the great scorer off, you know, the century. No. But in a system like this, it's 10 times as hard.
By the way, he did make the MLS Team of the Week. He had the header on the corner, and then he made the run. Yeah. So let's talk about the goals. Let me just pull something up here. But let's talk about the own goal, because I think the Dynamo deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
Because Griffin Dorsey, number one, whipped in a great ball, and that was a great run.
Yeah.
And I saw the defender, the former UVA kid. I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
But that's I saw him trying to defend this cross, and I said, God, I remember being in that position.
It's
and
the
it's
worst.
Really difficult position for a center back. You're running back towards your own goal. You're trying to see where the delivery's coming from. You're trying to see where the striker's making his run. very difficult. So as much as that goes down as an own goal, I give that goal to Dorsey and Ponce.
100%. I mean, when I saw the own goal call, it's you know, whatever. It's a stat that nothing has to do with what happened in that play. That was not an own goal. That was a goal that the Dynamo created very, very well. Dorsey did what Dorsey does. You know, he found those spaces, he made the run, he put the cross where he needed to put it, and Ponce did what he's supposed to do, which is be there in the box. You know, he had a good night. I was happy to see him having that performance.
Yeah, 3-2 Houston Dynamo over St. Louis City. Should have been easier. Okay, so let's go to the first goal. Comes off the corner, Jack McGlynn. So I put a video out of Ponce's movement, which I think is important on this goal.
Absolutely. I commented on that one because it made me so happy to see that play, you know, because that's what he does constantly. You know, he always goes with his body. 9 times out of 10, it ends up in a foul on somewhere in the midfield, you know.
But he uses his shoulders a lot because he's boxy.
Yeah.
And I know playing against those types of strikers, it's a pain in the you know what. Sorry, because you're ready to go up in the air for a header, and these guys aren't even competing for the header.
No.
They're just trying to lean in and nudge you enough not to get called a foul, put you off
balance.
Your header doesn't go where you want it to. It doesn't go to a teammate, and you don't keep possession. But on this play, he moves away from the delivery. He finds a defender. Now that defender, honestly, as big as he was, I couldn't believe how soft he was. But that doesn't take away from what Ponce did, because moving away, he created more space in front of him. This guy didn't respond. He just kind of let Ponce move him. Mm-hmm. And then, lo and behold, it's a free header goal. The own goal, it was off Kessler. But again, we talked about that. And then the last one is just, my goodness.
It happens, you know. We had those moments at the beginning of the season. How many times, you know?
Center back gave the ball away, but I got to credit Linger and I got to credit Dwayne Holmes.
You got to put it away.
If you're not, your antennas aren't up, thank goodness you punish a mistake, because you know what? That became the game-winning goal after St. Louis scored in the 86th and 89th. And I'll tell you what, if there was 5 more minutes of stoppage time, I believe it would have been 3-3.
Oh, my God. It was – okay, so first of all, talking about that goal, happy for Linger and Holmes, because they both need that boost of confidence. I think Linger has been putting a lot of work, and he's been a little frustrated, I think, with the way that things have been going on for him. And Holmes, you know, he's putting in the work. He's doing good, I think. So this was good. It was a good finish. You know, mistake, sure, but you still have to put them away, and they did. You know,
and who knew at the time that it was going to be an important goal and it was going to be a game winner? Now I see things online that, oh, don't be critical of the Dynamo. We won. Well, yeah, well, that's good for certain fans and people that don't want to go deeper. I think anybody who watched this game knows this became very dangerous. They also know that St. Louis's Joao Klaus had a real off night.
Terrible.
Real off
Terrible.
Night.
He had at least 3 opportunities that should have
these
gone.
These are all factors. And yes, it's real easy to just say, it doesn't matter. We got the 3 points. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Yep. But if you want to break games down and look at them, you know, this was a game where data-wise, St. Louis, I mean,
yeah, since they like data so much.
57% of the possession. They had 13 shots to 8. They had 4 on goal to 3. They had 490 total passes to 352. They had a very mistake. Well, here's one, 11 corners to 3.
11 corners to 3. Yep. And let's not forget, because this is something that I was very happy to hear from the fans when I do the interviews after the games at home. A lot of people are talking about Bond, and they're talking about him as a player that is not saying a lot, but saying a lot on the pitch. You know, and that save.
Yeah, he made a huge save on Klaus.
That save was the game.
Right there. By the way, this proves that data doesn't quantify, because if data was the main thing here, St. Louis wins this game going away. All right. Well, it's good that Nelson Quiñones is making his way back. And good segments here with Fernando de Michelis. We're going to come back. We're going to go to Barcelona, Spain. It'll be Jordi Sunyer from TV3 over there. This is a really interesting interview. We also talk about Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone, if he is losing the magic touch there with that the gritty, determined soccer, Atletico Madrid. All right, we'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Off to Europe we go. Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona is up next.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, final segment of the night tonight here. We promised this one throughout the show. We're going to go all the way over to Barcelona, Spain, where a lot is happening over there with Lamine Yamal and the Barcelona locker room and a young player at 18 years of age, acting like an 18-year-old, but where does this put FC Barcelona at this time with so much stake in Lamine Yamal? Let's go over there now and let's talk to the one and only TV3's Jordi Sunyer. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. The Daspit Law Firm has been getting soccer talk on the air here in Houston for so many years. So a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. You need a personal injury attorney. Sometimes you do in life. It's 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, DaspitLaw.com. Over to Barcelona, Spain we go. He is the legendary. Yes, we call him legendary on this show. He is Jordi Sunyer, and Jordi joins us now. Jordi, thanks for coming on the show as always.
Thank you so much for having me again, Glenn. Nice to meet you again.
And our local Barcelona culés. They always like when Jordi Sunyer is on the show. All right, let's start off. 1-1 draw with Rayo Vallecano. It's a bit of a mixed start for Barcelona. They smacked Mallorca in the first game, came back from behind against Levante. Where do you position the season so far?
Well, if you look at it from just numbers perspective, it's 7 points out of 9 in 3 away games. That would be a very good figure for any team playing your first 3 league games away from home and getting 7 points, 2 victories and a draw. But things are not starting that well at Barcelona because there have been some dressing room problems. And after the game at Rayo Vallecano, in which Barca didn't play that well, Hansi Flick in the press conference said a sentence, said a thing that has worried all the Barca environment, if we can say it like this. It's egos kill success. And it comes from some controversial behavior by Lamine Yamal. If you've seen the game, he's celebrating his goals by making this gesture of putting a crown on his head. You know, it's also a little bit of a cultural thing because this country, I mean, Catalonia is historically is a losing country, and we don't like people showing off. But obviously, Lamine Yamal is that kind of player that doesn't care about anything what's said about him. So he keeps on doing that. But I think Hansi Flick doesn't like that. And apart from that, there has been a personal quarrel for personal reasons. I don't want to be more explicit about this because these are personal reasons. But between Gabi and Fermín López, who was, it seemed he was about to leave the club for Chelsea, he's finally staying at Barcelona. And the relationship between the two midfield players is not good. I would say it's bad right now. So there are several issues inside the dressing room that are worrying Hansi Flick. And yeah, he's got this 2 weeks off time, international break, as you know, to assess the situation and try to regain the unity that was one of the characteristics of Barcelona last season.
He is Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. I will remind people that I've said this on the show, but Jordi was the first to kind of call that there were some problems with Lamine Yamal, many, many shows ago, many, many months ago. You said this is something to really keep an eye on. So an 18-year-old kid, he's gotten married, he's doing the crown, he's doing all this stuff. As you mentioned, a big, big, big concern. Other than Hansi Flick, who is the guiding lights and mentors and adults in the room around Lamine Yamal?
The thing is, he's not got these guiding lights. As I always said, it's very difficult for an 18-year-old guy to cope with everything that has erupted around him, because it's the money, it's the fame, it's being a Ballon d'Or candidate at 18 years old, and he's from such a humble environment. The club have tried to guide him and control him and give him the best advice throughout his short career, when he already was one of the wonder kids in La Masia, in Barcelona's academy. But, you know, everything has, in my opinion, everything has come for him so quickly. So it's so big and so quick, and it's difficult. And of course, Hansi Flick has been for Barcelona like a kind of a messiah. You know, such things have happened in the recent history of Barcelona. If you remember Ronaldinho in the early noughties, he was also seen as the messiah who changed a difficult situation for the club. And Hansi Flick has been the one that has changed the mood in the club from an underachieving club during the Jose Maria Bartomeu era and then the first years of Joan Laporta to a winning club again that was on the brink of getting to a Champions League final. So I wouldn't say 100% of confidence, but a huge amount of confidence from Barcelona fans is on Hansi Flick. But for him, I think, in my opinion, it's also a huge responsibility, being the only one with the charge and the responsibility of making Lamine Yamal go the right way. So it won't be easy at all.
Sure doesn't look like it. I mean, do you think there's a real chance that he could crash and burn a little bit here? I mean, he's also married now at 18 years of age, right? He just had this big wedding ceremony as well.
Well, it was not a wedding ceremony. You said it before, but he's not married. He's dating an Argentinian singer or rapper. Sorry, but I'm not into nowadays music. I'm more into 80s.
I got that one. I got that one wrong. I didn't find that one in People magazine correctly. I'm sorry.
It was the famous party that Lamine Yamal hosted this summer. It was more or less like 2 months ago. It was for celebrating his 18th birthday. You know, in Spain, when you are 18, it's legal age. So it was not normal. Of course, in recent years, people coming to Spain from other countries have brought in their costumes, ways of doing things, and it's not normal for Spanish people normally to celebrate that you're of legal age and you are 18. But he decided to host this party, and it was a huge party. It looked like a wedding ceremony, but it was not. He's dating an Argentinian singer or rapper, Nicki Nicole. Being a crash and burn player, If you have heard our last interviews, Glenn, I think people may feel that I'm a little bit pessimistic about it. It's difficult to say. And you know, I'm not good at making predictions, but he's just 18. Where will he be when he's 22, 23, 24? I think there's a big question mark around this.
You know, Jordy,
everybody hopes.
Jordy, a comparison I would make is Marcus Rashford at Manchester United. If you remember, he was knighted by the Queen. He was doing all these things off the field, some really good things. But I just remember looking at that and saying, this is way too much for somebody this young. The adulation is coming from everywhere. They're falling at his feet. How can football be a priority to this guy? So that would be my sort of comparison to Lamine Yamal. And, of course, you know, Rashford's trying to reclaim his career, I would say, at this point.
And the two players play at big clubs with big following around the planet, Barcelona and Manchester United. So it's difficult. It's difficult for them. All Barcelona fans hope that Lamine Yamal will follow the footsteps of Lionel Messi and that he will be a player for even decades to come to be the leader of Barcelona. But still, I grew as a football fan in grassroots football, and things are very different. And you normally feel that when a player is 16, 17, you are beginning to sense if that player is going to become a professional soccer player or not. And we're talking about a guy who's just 18 from this July, and he's a Ballon d'Or candidate, and everybody is calling him right now the best soccer player on the planet, even ahead of Kylian Mbappe and ahead of other big names. I don't know. I'm so skeptical about that. And I still want to see what happens with Lamine when he's 22 or 23. But that's a prediction. That's a future. Who knows?
That's why you're a great journalist.
Things are ugly these days. I don't like the feelings surrounding Lamine right now.
And you know what? That's why you're a great journalist, because you do have a level of skepticism, and that's what's needed. You're not a fanboy. You're not a PR wing. You tell it like it is. That's why we love having you on the show. He's Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. You know, back to the application, the focus, the execution of being a pro on a daily basis with all these other things, popularity. Boy, isn't that Messi's greatest superpower? His ability to focus on football throughout his career.
Even if he also made headlines at a young age, if you remember Lionel Messi, the feeling is that everything that surrounded him came under control more properly or earlier than with Lamine Yamal. He was always supported. If you remember, Lionel Messi was always supported by his father, Jorge Messi. He was the one who built all this company network around Lionel Messi in order to manage his public persona and to manage all his businesses and everything related to the impact he made as a footballer, as an sporting icon. And this is not still happening with Lamine Yamal. So it should happen sooner than later. I think Lionel Messi had an edge with all that. I think it's one of the aspects that Lamine Yamal has to address in the near future, because it's when you get to this level, it's not only about what happens on the football pitch. I know he's still a little bit of a street soccer player. You know, he likes to play as if he was playing in his neighborhood court with friends and playing in the streets. But it's not like that anymore. So it takes many, many, many other things to be one of the best players in the planet, and that everybody looks at you like one of the role models in world football. And in my opinion, this is still not happening, and it has to happen. Lamine Yamal's father is not like Lionel Messi's. There is a huge difference between them. But the club cannot control him. Sometimes we talk about this with the colleagues here at TV3 covering FC Barcelona, and they admit that the club are not able to control everything that Lamine Yamal is doing. Lamine may go to a national TV show just because he wants to. And the PR guys at Barcelona may tell him it's probably not the best. For example, you lost on Sunday against so-and-so, and probably it's not good for you to go to a national TV show and give an interview with a slightly humor edge. But he does whatever he wants. And I think that's not things are working right now. So, well... we'll have to see. We'll have to see that. That's just what I can say.
Jordy Sonnier, TV3. And by the way, Lamine Yamal's performance could derail or could push to glory a great season for Barcelona. We're going to keep an eye on that one. You know, we often talk about supporters groups here in the U.S., and there is a little level of it being contrived with the way MLS has gone, although they are excellent supporters groups in places like Seattle. And, you know, we have some good ones here in Houston. Neymar and Santos got beat 6-0 by Vasco da Gama, and the whole team had to present itself in front of the Torcida, the supporters group.
The fans,
How intense and how much influence do supporters groups in Spain have, and let's say particularly Barcelona fans?
It's a very good question, this one, because it's not probably that public as in Brazil or in Italy, but relationships between the clubs and the fan groups are not that easy always. It has been addressed by La Liga, and La Liga has tried, as the competition's organization, has tried to regulate how fan groups do behave, how do they have this, or how do they interact with the clubs. But it's not always easy, because normally fan groups see themselves as representatives of the fan base, and that makes them think that have some kind of power or some kind of over-representation in front of the club that other fans don't have. And that creates misunderstandings. We all know of fan groups that are funded by clubs. And even in the past, there have been cases of fan clubs that have acted as, I wouldn't say paramilitary forces, but for example, if the club doesn't like what one journalist writes about that club or about that player, it may be somebody from a fan group that starts a thread on social media or meets this journalist at the training ground or whatever and tries to
intimidate.
So it's not that easy. And La Liga have tried to regulate that, but these situations, not with the intensity of yesterday, but still happen. And in the case of Barcelona, there was a very big group called Boixos Nois. And Joan Laporta, in his first tenure as Barcelona chairman in 2003, knew what was it all about, because many of the members of this fan group were convicted and still are. They were involved in drugs business and so on. And he did everything that was in his hands to ban these people from accessing the Camp Nou. And he succeeded, which is one of the biggest successes for Joan Laporta in his Barcelona tenure, eliminating these hooligans from the stadium in order to create a more pacific atmosphere. So probably it's not that public as in other countries, as I told you, but some of this strange things still happen in Spain. Probably not like in Brazil or in Italy, but some of these things still happen, I may say.
Jordy, last one. We'll make it quick, and you don't have to spend too much time on this because I know you got to go, and we really appreciate your time. Atletico Madrid, is it kind of wearing out with Diego Simeone now? Because, you know, we're watching a lot of coaches lose their jobs. Jose Mourinho at Fenerbahce, Eric Ten Hag in Germany. Diego Simeone, where's he at now with Atletico Madrid? They're 17th in the table and haven't won a game.
Well, I wouldn't say so. It's just 3 games played. I know it's 2 points from 9 points possible. And he's been criticized because, as we've talked recently in this show, their transfer market has been good. They have signed very good players. They've signed Alex Baena. They've signed Thiago Almada. They have tremendous players, just like Alexander Soler, for example, such a good striker. This is a squad for challenging for any title. But the thing is, you know, Simeone has still got this brand of conservative football. It happened to him in his first league game. He was leading 1-0, and he always has this final impulse of trying to keep this result. When you have players to win every game, I wouldn't say 3 or 4-0, but sometimes he could be more attack minded, and that happened with Espanyol. He was dominating the game. He was winning 1-0 away to Espanyol, and with the changes that he made, he finally allowed Espanyol to overcome the deficit and win 2-1. He's been criticized for that, but it's just three games. So it's been, you know, in August, nearly nobody's working in Spain. Everybody's on holiday. So these three first match days of the season are just like a false start. And I think for every team, the real La Liga starts right now from the fourth match day. So we'll have to see after the next 6, 7, 8 games what happens with managers in Spain, and we'll have to see if some of them are risking the sack.
You know, it's funny. We see so many coaches who do the same thing. They get a lead, they invite a team back in by making these tactical moves, and they just never, ever change. Jordi Sunyer, TV3, Barcelona, Spain, you're the best. Thank you for coming on tonight. We appreciate it, and see you down the road, Jordi.
Thank you so much for having me again, Glenn. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right, that's Jordi Sunyer, TV3. We'll take a break. LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. And don't forget, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there at his home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can get the podcast of this show at both Spotify, Apple, and right here at ESPN975.com. Also, a big thank you to Brian McDonald, our producer here tonight. Next week, we are at Senate Avenue Brewing. It's live. It'll be Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash. Many more will be on hand live as guests out there. Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Next Tuesday, it is live radio. Lots of giveaways, tickets. If you wear a jersey out there next week, you get a free beer of your choice. All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. I'll see you tomorrow night at 6 Central Time for Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.